Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so I'm excited about this morning's message. I'm so glad that you all came out this day. I believe this is a message that God's been putting on my heart for a while, ever since the turmoil broke out. You know, there's a powder keg. There's a powder keg in Israel. We know that. We know that. And you can start that now, brother. Amen. Praise God. Well, one second here, saints. There we go. Amen. And so, are we ready for the word? We're ready for the word. Amen. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. 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 Praise God. I've entitled this morning's message, God's Sovereign Choices. God's Sovereign Choices. This message, saints of God, I truly believe that what we are about to hear and read for ourselves, hopefully it'll illuminate us, we'll understand the times that we live in, and we'll understand the conflict in the Middle East and the conflict with the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since God made these sovereign choices, the spiritual darkness has been there at that time, and it hasn't ceased to continue. We're still seeing spiritual darkness today. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But there's a reason for all this, and we hope to bring this out in the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to expound verses 12 through 13. 12 through 13. And it reads, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Praise God, praise God. And so, we're going to look at God's sovereign choices here. And the choices that God made are yes and amen. Before the foundation of the world, before he spoke anything into existence, God already made a choice before things even appeared. Did you know that he existed before things appeared, before this world, before the universe? He still existed. Amen.
Amen.
It was God's grace that he spoke the universe into existence. It was God's grace that he would make all these billions of galaxies and stars and planets, but he made one particular planet for himself where he would rule and reign with mankind here on this planet, and it's called Earth. Notice there's no life. All these scientists and Hubble telescopes and all these things are always looking for life. Have you noticed that? They're always looking to see, is there life somewhere else? Why are they looking for life? Because they're trying to deny the existence of God. Because they're trying to deny that what God wrote in the Bible. And so the conflict that we see, especially in the Middle East, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's a battle that cannot be won through flesh and blood. It's a battle that needs to be dealt with in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Did you know that this battle in Israel, it's not really flesh and blood? But let me just say this. There's an entity that hates the Word of God, that hates the Lord Jesus Christ, that hates the Jew, and that hates us believers. And that is Satan. Satan himself. This is not about Palestinians or human or mankind. It's a spiritual battle. And we're going to look in the Word of God and see this clearly. And so, let's look at God's sovereign choices. Number one, here we go in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a what? Great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Let me just say this for a moment. From the beginning of the book of Genesis, we see Moses wrote the first five books. But in the beginning was God, it says. Notice it said, in the beginning was God. Okay, so God spoke everything into existence. In 7 days, he created this whole planet for us. And then he rested. So Moses wrote about this. So here's the thing. In the garden, there was an incident that took place. We know that. And Satan was in that garden as a serpent. And he beguiled. He connived. He lied to Eve. And that's when the fall took place. So ever since then, the Bible says that the seed of the woman, which would be Israel and also the Lord Jesus Christ that would come, said that it would bruise his heel but eventually destroy him. And so all these thousands of years, Satan has been trying to stamp out the Jew. And then when Jesus came, now it's a twofold battle. He's trying to stamp out the Jew, and he's trying to stamp out us believers in Christ. Okay? So, God, as we saw in the Word right here, God chose Abraham to have a great nation. Now, let's look at John 15 and 16. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may what?
Give you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote this. He wrote it best. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In who? In Christ. Just as he chose us in him. Did you check? Did you see that? Just as he what? Chose us in him. Praise God. Before the foundation of the world, before the whole world was spoken into existence, God already chose us. Look at this. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now, I know that's a tricky verse of scripture there, because the Bible says there's only one that's good. Who's the one that's good?
Jesus.
He's the only one that's good, right? Okay, so how does that work? It says, just as he chose us before him, the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. It was the blood of Jesus that cleansed us and washed us from the original sin. Can I get amen? That's how we stand holy and blameless. Listen, we know our faults and failures. We know our stinking thinking. We know what we do in our flesh, right? We know that. But we're talking about an eternal perspective. We're talking about Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. He came and saved us. He saved our soul and he saved our spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
This flesh, this no good flesh, is going back to the dust. But how many want that new body? I'm going to call this the West Wing and the North Wing over here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, Let's move on with the scriptures here. Here we go. Look at this. Having predestined. Look at that. He predestined. He already, in his foreknowledge, he already knew. Look at this. Predestined us to adoption as sons. I need you to catch that. We've been grafted in. We've been adopted. This is how we are now in the same covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've been grafted in by faith. Yeah. So he adopted us. He came and chose us. We didn't choose him. You ever go to, say, Ralph's or Vaughn's, and you go, you know, I need some apples. So you go in there and you go through those apples. You just don't grab them, do you? You look at them. Oh, this one's a nice one. I'm taking that one. But would you take the one with the hole and the worm coming out? No, you wouldn't, huh? So you hand select them. You pick them. Well, God picked us no differently. Can I get amen? Amen. We didn't know what was in us, but he knew what was in us. And let me just say this. I'm gonna go on record saying this. The true born-again church that love God, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, is the ones that he saw the hearts that would be like David. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because all the born-again believers that love God, they have a heart like David.
That's right.
Because David wasn't perfect, was he?
No.
No, he wasn't perfect, but yet God still chose him. And look at us, he still chose us. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody got to give God a shout of praise. He saved us. Despite of ourselves, many of us were walking around wickedly. And yet God saw the heart that's inside of us, that once he touched us, we would turn to him. And so having predestined, meaning he already saw you, turn to your neighbor and say, he saw you. Come on. Come on. Hey, North Wing, tell West Wing, he saw you. Yes, yes, amen. Predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. He saved us to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, into the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted by God. How many are so blessed to know that? That we're accepted by God? Oh, come on. We're accepted by him. What a total blessing it is. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I need you to see this now. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he wrote this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. Notice your calling. I want you to raise your hand real quick. All of you raise your hand. You, and all of you. Have been called.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You've been called. For you see your calling, brethren,
amen.
That
right.
Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Oh, I need you to see that. There are so many people that we know, but they're not called.
Wow.
Let's read that again. For you see your calling, brethren, that you may not, look at this, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. So all the dignitaries, all the generals, all these mighty people, some of them are not even called, and yet they have more certificates than us. But God has chosen, look at this, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Listen, whatever you do now, never call anybody a fool. You know, remember back in the day, what's up, fool? Remember that? What's up, fool? Please, that is a curse word now to God. Okay? You'll be blaspheming God. No differently that if you bleepity bleepity bleep and say Jesus Christ, okay, that's a blasphemy. Don't call nobody a fool, because according to the word of God, a fool is headed to hell.
That's right.
Headed to hell. Don't just keep it zip. Don't say that word at all. Look at this. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things which are mighty. Wow, look at this. And these things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Come on, go back to your BC years where God found you. I like what Brother G would say. Some of us was toe up from the flow up. Huh? He was. Come on, we were. But he still saved us. He still saved us. Look at this. And then it goes on to say, and the things which are not, to bring nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what that means, saints of God? We're not to boast about this, about us. Oh, look at me now. Look what God has done now. No, we need to stay humble before him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and then allow him to lift you up. Can I get an amen? So now, let's look at this. Spiritual darkness will always oppose God's choices. Always. Always oppose. We're gonna go back now in Genesis, and we're going to read these scriptures. But we're going to see how this unfolds this morning. We're going to see how the wicked one always has his hand in the cookie jar. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know, you ever told your kids, don't put your hand in there. Okay. Well, the wicked one wants to put his hand in the things of God.
That's right.
He wants to stir up trouble. He wants to bring division. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life. And life what? More abundantly. We're here because of God's grace. We're here because of his mercy. And so let's go to the word of God here in Genesis 15. Look at this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Praise God. Praise God. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus? So he was concerned, because how many remember that God said, I will make you a great nation? And yet his wife was barren. Sarah was barren, right? So he struggled. He struggled with that. You would struggle too if God promised you something and it didn't come to pass yet, right? Some of us would just do this. God, I got this. Step over the promise and you go on your own. Could I get an amen from the north wing? Can I get an amen with the west wing? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir. So in other words, he's saying, slow your roll. It's coming. Slow your roll. Don't get antsy. Many of us get antsy. Many of us want to get ahead of God. But God say, wait on the promise. Look at this. And he goes on to say in verse 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Wow. Wow. See, he can't fathom that. You got to remember, he was an idol maker. Mm-hmm. Remember when God first spoke to him? His wife came to him. Which God in the shop spoke to you? Because they were making little idols. He goes, it wasn't that one. It was the one that came from heaven. Look at this. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. I need you to catch that. That's the first time we see faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And once we believe, he accounted upon us as righteousness. Now we stand before the Lord righteous. Hallelujah. Holy and blameless. Can I get amen?
Amen.
No matter how much we messed it up. God doesn't see. He looks past that. He looks past the exterior because this flesh is perishing. Hope you know that. I've been crying out for that new body. We do all kinds of things with this body. Huh? We try to run. We try to fast. We try to diet. Hallelujah. We inject here. We deplete there. We do all kinds of weird things, right? And yet, it's still going to perish. Hallelujah. Don't worry. I'm not gonna get on your sisters. No, I won't do that. Keep your beauty. Keep your beauty. Because it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Keep your beauty. Oh, that's right. Oh, come on. Thank you, God. We can lose weight. Men can lose weight and then blow up in 2 weeks. So what's wrong with that guy? Look at that. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. I need you to catch that. Right now in the present day, this is God's land. This belongs to the Jews. Can I get an amen? It don't belong to anybody else. And let me just say this. If this United States stirs up some kind of plan to divide Israel, to establish a two-state solution, look out for remedial judgment that will come here. Can I get an amen? That's why keep your eyes on Israel. Keep your eyes. If you want to know what's going on, keep your eyes on him. And hopefully the old man behind in the White House like this, hopefully he doesn't say something foolish. Jesus, help us. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know I will inherit? So he said, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat, three-year-old ram and turtle dove and a young pigeon. So he's telling them exactly what he needs to do. So Abraham is doing this by faith. Can I get an amen? Listen, he can't see God. He just hears him. Wow. I wonder what Sarai at the time was thinking. Man, is this guy on something? Look at this. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each other. Look at verse 11. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon. You know what? We just went by verse 12. But notice he was doing an offering. He was worshiping. Who came right away? Huh? No, the vultures came. Yeah, darkness came. Came to destroy the worship. This is what the enemy wants to do with all you. He wants to silence your voice to worship and praise him. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Abraham had to drive him away. This is why you need to pray and fast. You need to drive away the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The ones that try to mess up your family. The one that comes against you. Drive that spirit away. Your enemy is not the person. It's a true dark entity. Pray for them that God will quicken them and they will wake up from their slumber and their sleep. Now, when the sun was down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Wow. Look at this. In verse 13. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them. And they will afflict them for 400 years. He's telling them already what was going to happen in Egypt. That they were going to go under bondage. Why was God saying that? I'm here to let us know until Jesus come for us, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trials. Can I get amen? How many of you have already experienced trials? Some of you are in a tribulation right now. You know, we think tribulation is something where everything's blown up. No, a tribulation is something that's pressing hard on you. It's keeping your mind depressed. It's keeping your whole soul and mind away from God and just focusing on your situation. It's turbulent. It's tribulation. There's another word for tribulation around the world. We get that war and all that. But it comes personal to us. Jesus said you would have tribulation. Look at this. And also, yes, verse 14. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a very old age. Praise God. Praise God. A couple more verses here. Look at this in verse 16. But in the fourth generation they will return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Let me just say this. One of the reasons why the enemies of Israel are still here, because they did not destroy the Amorites.
There you go. Come on.
They left them.
Right there.
Hallelujah. They left them alone. All they did was they conquered them, but they didn't annihilate them and their gods. Right. See, back then, that was God's mind to do that. Did you know that God is a man of war?
Yes, he is.
Huh? Do you know when Jesus comes, he's not going to come and play patty cake with anybody. He's not going to come and sing worship with you. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, his robe is going to be dipped in blood. It's going to be dipped in blood. Yes, it will. Why will it be dipped in blood? Because he's going after all the nations that came against Israel and who have come against us. Can I get amen? Here's the good news. Us will be with him.
Amen.
On horses. Can I get amen?
Right. Come on.
God has already picked out a horse for you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we're coming back with him. And out of his mouth will come the sword. The word of God. He's going to destroy them with his word.
Hallelujah.
As soon as he speaks it, they will fall. Can I get amen? That's how powerful God is. God is a God of war. We read this throughout the word. Now, let's get back here. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, there appeared smoking oven and burning torch that passed between these pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river and the river Euphrates. Look at this. The Canaanites, the Kezizzites, the Termites, and the Kedamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgasites, and the Jebusites. All them will be destroyed. Did you know? Let me just say this. I'm going to pause right here for a minute. All these that we just read, all of them now are in a museum. You could read about them in history. But guess who's still standing?
Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, well, we know that. But guess who else is standing? Israel. Israel is still standing. Can I get amen? Why? Because God made a covenant with him. That's why they're still there. They're still there with their native tongue. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And I know some of you were you guys were just days away from flying out. But you'll go back again. We'll all go back hopefully once again. Can I get amen? Because we serve a mighty God. So we have to look back just to see the darkness that has come against them. Can I get amen? And so look at this. Israel's persecuted history. They've been persecuted. Look at this. In 1400 BC, look at that. The Israelites enter the promised land. Prior to that, they have been delivered from the hands of the Egyptians and then spent 40 years wandering in the desert because of unbelief. Through the Mosaic covenant, they have been given the Torah and separated to God as a holy nation. The 12 tribes of Israel are allotted their portion of territory. Now look at this. In 720 BC, the 10 northern tribes were taken into captivity in Assyria. By this time, judgment has been prophesied against Judah for their rebellion against the Lord. Let me pause there for real quickly here. Judah, there was Israel and Judah. Judah was in the north. Judah was God's beloved. But why did God allow Judah to fall? because they became so rebellious. They became so idolatrous. And they forgot God. Let me just say this. Our nation parallels with them. And guess what has been taken away from this country? Bible teaching, prayer. We've been removed from the court system, from the public system, from the school system. You can't even speak Jesus anywhere. Nowhere. You can't speak the name. You could bring in the murderous book. You could bring in a book of murder that's called the Quran. Because there's 49 scriptures, they call them surahs, where it says, kill the Jew, kill the Gentile, the infidel, the unbelievers, and the Christian. So as a child, they already have hate. This is why it's hard to say, oh yeah, we need to pray for the Palestinians. But they are indoctrinated as children to hate the Jews. And so there's a dichotomy there. Do we pray for them? Yeah. Do you want them to get saved? Yeah. But they're so bent on anger and hate and hostility. They'll keep coming and coming and coming again because of that lie that Satan has given them. That evil book called the Quran. They've been indoctrinated. Wow. Praise God. So let's go back here. It says, the 10 northern tribes are taken into captivity in Assyria. By this time, judgment has been prophesied against Judah for the rebellion against the Lord. So God allowed this holy place, the temple, where the Shekinah glory would come. And yet God allowed it to be destroyed. And he allowed it to be destroyed two times. Once by the Babylonians and the last time by the Romans. And so let me just say this. Jesus doesn't drape his back with the American flag. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If this nation continues to go down where it's going, God will bring judgment. We're seeing judgment already. You know, let me just say this. You know the judgments that we're seeing right now? You know what one of the signs is? He's given us wicked leaders. When a nation turns away from God, he will give them wicked leaders. We're wicked leaders. And right now, we're seeing the wickedness that come out of this administration. They're pushing transgenderism on you, homosexuality upon you, mutilation, mutilating your children. My goodness, we're seeing this wickedness. All the fentanyl that's coming in through the border. All the terrorists that are commingled with all five, I don't know, there's close to 2 million already that has crossed the border. They're already with us. They're here. They're hidden. And my goodness, why? Let me just say this. If we don't pray for each other, we pray for the nation, but we need to pray for one another. Can I get amen? Because our only safety, our only shield and buckler, our only protector is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If bombs are sent this way, the moment we close our eyes, we'll be with him in paradise. Can I get amen? Come on, you got to believe God for that. You got to believe God for that. Come on, give God a shout of praise right now. Jesus will watch over us. He is our protector. Can I get amen?
Come on, he's our shield, he's our protector.
Hallelujah. Look at this. In 586 BC, the temple on Jerusalem is destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. These are the Babylonians of Babylon on the 9th of Av. That's a cursed day in the Jewish calendar. Bad things happen on the 9th of Av. Too much to go over that. That's another teaching another time. It's on the Hebrew calendar. The third wave of the captives, the first one was around 606 BC, taken into exile in Babylon. A 70-year exile has been prophesied by Jeremiah. Wow. Look at this. In 445 BC, the third wave of Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem under Nehemiah, and the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt. However, a significant number choose to stay in exile. Wow.
Come on.
Okay, now, let's look at this. In 167 BC, the temple is defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes, who sacrifices a pig on the altar and halts the temple worship. Wow. Let me just say this. I'm talking about the woke churches.
Come on, preach it. Come on.
This is no different. When they bring the transgenders and the homosexuality and ordain them, it's bringing a pig on the altar.
Oh, my God. Oh, come on, preach it.
Can I get amen?
Amen. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Woo.
That's right.
Oh,
God told us to go. We read what? Tuesday night. When you were teaching us, Pastor Art. What were you teaching us? You were teaching us that, what did God tell Jacob? It's time to go home. It's time to go back to your family. Why? Because of the abominations. So listen, don't think God closed the door of finances or whatever. No, he closed the door because they had defiled that place. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I can speak about that clearly now. Yes. Hallelujah. Without being ashamed.
Yes. Amen. That's right. Come on.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We're in a holy place right now.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, God. And so they brought this. Look at. And then 3 years later, look at this. 3 years later, Judas Maccabeus liberates and cleanses the temple. This is the commemorated by the feast of Hanukkah. The Hasmoneans ruled Israel until the Roman invasion. Notice, they would get right, and then they would fall. They would get right, and then they would fall. So this is why, I need you to catch this. This is why Jesus had to come and wash us in the blood and fill us with his spirit. You know why? Because we are a yo-yo too. Come on. We can love the Lord thy God. We can praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you. And go home and curse somebody out. Some of us in here have vicious mouths. This is where you have to say, God, bridle my tongue. Help me with my tongue, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. Oh, hey, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We remember how foul it used to be. But I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like, you know how you can, on your desktop computer, you move stuff to the trash bin? But you can retrieve it if you don't delete it. Can I get amen? You can go back to the trash and dig it out and bring it back on your desktop. Can I get amen? Oh, hallelujah. What God did for many of us, he only not put it in the trash bin. He deleted it. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Some of us don't even, those cursors don't even come out no more. It's like the file's been deleted. It's like, praise God. And then there's some of you like, oh, help me God. Bleepity, bleepity, help me God. You know who you are. Ask God, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. And Jesus will help you. You know that he'll help you? Because he already saw what? The junk in our trunk. He already saw us, how foul we were when he saved us. Come on. He saw that already. So now, we look at the history of the Jew. Now, we're going to shift right here, and we're going to look in the New Testament. Let's look at this for a moment. Praise God. Are you guys getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Look at this. Oh, yeah. Forgot that one. The earthly life and ministry of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, fulfills more than 300 Old Testament prophecies. Can I get amen? So let's look at this in Luke. Luke 4. Look at this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by who? Oh, Slewfoot was there waiting for him. Let me just say this. When you first get saved, you're a brand new Christian. Guess who's there to greet you? Oh, Slewfoot. If you're single, all of a sudden, He'll bring somebody your way to take your attention away from God and try to steer you away. Oh, this was Prince Charming, who I wanted all my life. Oh, man, this was Prince Cinderella, who I've been praying all my life. And God sent a wolf dressed in sheep clothing. Ho! Oh, enemy will do that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Be careful, be careful, be careful. Because if Jesus was tempted immediately, don't you think we would? Look at this. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. I need you to catch this. I don't know if you guys still go to Barona or Saquon. I call it. I remember my brother Dale and my brother David. They would train. It was a law enforcement thing. And it was called Battle of the Badges. And they would meet out in Barona. They had a ring out there. But you had, in order to get to where it was, you had to walk through the casino. And I remember, I hadn't been in one. As soon as you walk in, you know, the smoke-filled room. And then I kept looking at the rows. You know, all the slot machines. And was filled with people with little saints on top of the machine. And they would do this. Touch the thing and then crank it. Tempting God. Tempting God. Can I get amen? Oh, man. I'm telling you, what I saw was like, wow. And so Satan came to him and said, no different. Turn this bread. What? Turn these stones into bread. Come on. Just pull that one time. Just pull that one time. And here comes your bread. Oh, come on. I'm just being real. Can I get an
amen?
We're not to tempt God. You need money. You need a job. You need these things. Get on your knees. Cry out to God. Go to your Father, Abba. He'll hear you. He'll bring everything you need in your life. Can I get an
amen?
You don't have to go to the Satan's camp. He'll drain your wallet clean over there. Oh, come on. Some of you have walked away with nothing, huh? Okay, let me know if this message is too hard for you right now.
Keep it going, Pastor. Keep it going.
It's okay. I'll preach to the stones outside and they'll cry out. Look at that. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Can I get amen? Then, O Slufa, there he goes again. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I have given them to whomever I wish. That is a lie from the pit, because God never gave them anything. Watch who you talk to.
Exactly. Come on.
That's right. Look at this. Therefore, if you will worship before me, I will be all yours. I can't be precise, but look at all these people that the world worship and they're no longer with us.
That's right.
You got Michael Jackson.
Oh, I got.
You got Elvis Presley. You got all these people that drew the whole world to worship them. And they were sold a bill of no good.
Amen.
Devil said, I'll give you all this kingdom if you worship me. My, my, my. Jesus didn't fall for that trick. Aren't you so blessed Jesus didn't fall for that? Praise God. Praise God. Man, let's move on. And Jesus said and answered him, this is when the devil comes to you. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Then he brought him up to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he that give his angels, look at that, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Look at this. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Let me, can I ask this question? I'm being transparent here because this happened to me. But since you've been a Christian, have you been tempted? What? West Wing?
Every day.
West Wing? How about North Wing over there?
Every day.
Oh, come on.
How many times?
That's right. So the Word of God is, listen, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. This is why you need to be in service to hear the preached Word of God so that your faith can be built. You read the Word and then it locks in your soul. And then you go, man, God spoke to me. Now I know what to stay away from, what to receive, what to listen to, and what to close my ears to. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's why this whole nation needs pastors all over the place. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That will raise up their flock. Hallelujah. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. And that's all we're doing here is feed the sheep of God. Now, when the devil ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Old Slewfoot will go away for a while. Oh, man. Oh, man. And then all of a sudden, he shows up and rears up his ugly head. Then Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Look at this. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up and read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Listen, how many believe the Spirit of the Lord is upon you?
Oh, hallelujah.
Huh? Jesus was the first on record, hallelujah, that when he came out of the waters of baptism, the Spirit of God fell upon him. God was showing us a picture of salvation. Believe and trust and then get baptized and come out of that water. So when he went into the wilderness, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the power to defend himself from the devil. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are powerless. And you will succumb to any ploy of the enemy without having the anointing and the power of God. This is why you need the power of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You need the power of God. Hallelujah. He said it best. Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Let me pause right there. One of the signs of the fruit of a born-again believer is they will preach the gospel no matter where they're
That's
at.
That's right, come on.
They could be in a grocery line and rouse. Excuse me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did you know that Jesus loves you? Can I pray for you?
Thank
you see someone that's walking with a limp or a gimp, whatever it is, pray for them. Guess what? Hey, can I pray for you? You know, I serve a mighty God. They may or may not know Jesus, but guess what? Anyone that's hurt would need prayer. Pray for them. He said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives and to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Many of us were oppressed. Many of us were blind. Did you know that we were all blind like this? We were blind until God opened up our eyes.
Right.
Until he gave his ears to hear and eyes to see. Look at this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Why? Because they never heard such a thing before. They never saw an anointed person. They never felt the presence of God. Hallelujah. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your what? In your hearing. Hallelujah. Saints, through his death on the cross, the new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah was ratified. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the people until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. We are living in those times right now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at this. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive in all nations. This is Luke 21, 24. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Listen. Listen, we are in the time right now, the church age and the time of the Gentiles. Because Gentiles are still being saved around the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So we are living that scripture in real time right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But back then, he also prophesied about the destruction of the temple. So we see this on record in 70 AD. The second temple is destroyed by the Romans against on the 9th of Av. Again, on that cursed day on the Hebrew calendar. Approximately 1 million Jews are killed, and most of the survivors are sold into slavery and scattered into the nations. However, a small remnant of Jewish people remain in the land throughout the dispersion. You see, saints, for the next 1,800 years, the Jews were always persecuted wherever they lived. Wherever they went, they were persecuted. Approximately 1 million Jews were scattered and killed at that time. But see, listen to me. God prophesied that they would return and become a nation in one day. How many believe that? How many believe that it came in one day? That's right. The Romans, the Crusaders, the Ottoman Empire, the British and Muslims occupied Jerusalem throughout those time periods. And yet, they were scattered. And then God brought them back. Look what Amos says right here in Amos 9. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. We've been there many times, and that has come to pass. All Israel is built up. It's a modern city. You all think it's like ancient ruins, and when you get there, that you're going to be sleeping in a tent or in a wilderness. No, they got 5-star hotels. It's beautiful. It's built up. They shall plant vineyards and drink from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land. Did you catch that? I will plant them back in their land. And no longer shall they be pulled up from the land. I will give. Ooh, no longer. Say that with me. No longer shall they be pulled up. Let me just share this with you real quickly. In 2005, we were there in Israel. And it was during the Iftitah. What is it? Excuse me. Let me go back. In 2004, we were there. And there was only 50 of us. Though many tours had closed down, just like today. You can't go there. It was tour. We got clearance. Pastor Leo got us there. And Edo Kanan, he's the one that allowed, through the IDF, that we would get in this big, huge metal bus. It was a Greyhound bus. But it looked like an armadillo. It was all metal from the top all the way down to the skirts. You had no windows to look out. Just the driver and the front passenger had windows. And we had to go into Gaza and then come out of Gaza to go to the kibbutz called Gush Katif. To make a long story short, we were there. We blessed them. We wrote a check for $50,000. We didn't know why Pastor Leo did that, but he did. Fast forward 2005, a year later. We were at a marriage retreat, and we saw in the news the most horrendous thing. We were there at Gush Katif a year ago. and Ariel Sharon, the Prime Minister, and President Bush brokered a deal. It's called Land for Peace. So they extracted all the Jews that God had planted. What did we just read here? He says this, I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled from the land that I had given them, says the Lord your God. When God says what he's going to do, he means it. So man pulled them out of their land that God had placed them. And judgment came within hours to this land and to their land. Oh, that's right. Ariel Sharon, the prime minister, went into a 9-year, not 9 months, not 9 weeks, not 9 days, a 9-year coma. They kept them alive with machines for 9 years. President Bush's home lived in Maine. A storm formed and destroyed his house. And within hours, a storm formed. Normally, storms don't form. They come and they travel. This one developed in the Gulf of Mexico, and it became Katrina. Listen, don't mess with the land. This is why I'm saying, keep your eyes on Israel. If they try to come up with a two-state solution, which they're talking right now, watch, watch, watch. As soon as they speak that and it's getting close to writing, God's going to send judgment. And there's been many prophetic teachers that believe there's going to be an earthquake so large here in this America, it's going to split down the middle in our nation for splitting the land of Israel. Listen, don't touch it. If this gets out to wherever it needs to go out, don't touch the land. Don't touch the land. So look at this. Jesus. Look at this. September 1939 to May 1945. This was prophesied in Ezekiel. We don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but Ezekiel 36 talks about the massacre. And this was 6 million Jews are murdered by the Nazis under the leadership of Adolf Hitler during the Holocaust of World War II. But look at this. Remember God said, I'll bring them back to the land?
Yes, there you go.
Huh?
Yes.
He says, will the dry bones live again? Ezekiel, the angel told Ezekiel, will the dry bones live again? He let them see the Holocaust.
Woo!
In the and present times. He saw what Hitler did. He tried to wipe them all out. 6 million were put in ovens. We only saw, and we don't want to see one, but we saw what, 1,300 in Israel get massacred?
Oh my God.
Hitler killed 6 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. But God said, I'll put them back. I'll put them back. Look at this. Now, in May 14, 1948, look at this. The last high commissioner, Sir Alan Cunningham, leaves Palestine and the British mandate ends. At 4 p.m., David Ben-Gurion, the recognized leader of the Jewish people, declares the existence of the sovereign state of Israel according to the UN Resolution 181. And on May 15, the following day, as soon as they declared to the world, we're a nation, the nation of Israel, what happens on that day? Immediately. What happened to Jesus when he went to the wilderness? Who was there? Slewfoot, right? Well, the next day after they were declared a nation, 5 Arab armies attack the infant state of Israel and war rages for several months. On the next day. Are you seeing the parallel here? Look at this. And Jordan captures the eastern part of Jerusalem and Israel's historical heartland, Judea and Samaria. The Jordanians expel or kill the Jews in the territory they conquered and desecrate the Jewish holy sites. They annex the territory and rename it the West Bank of Jordan. Their sovereignty over the territory is not recognized by any nation other than Britain and Pakistan. Look at this, Pakistan. Egypt claims sovereignty over the Gaza Strip. So immediately, God chose, remember, God chose Israel. Can I get amen? And he has scattered them because of their idolatry. But he said, I'm going to bring them back to the land. As soon as they're brought back to Israel, old Slewfoot is waiting for them. You ever ask yourself why? Why the Jews? How come? Why not China or Russia? Why not? I need you to catch this. Because Jesus is coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to eradicate the word of God. He's trying to make people disbelief in the Bible. Because the Bible's true. It's prophesied what would happen. And so Satan's trying to stamp out the word of God to make it null and void. To make us doubt. Hallelujah. This is a spiritual battle. But what God said, I will what? I will make them a great nation. What do we read from the beginning? And your descendants will be countless. Like the stars in the sky. Praise God. Praise God. So now, they got their land, but they didn't have their capital yet. So look, they had to go in 1967. Look at this. Israel makes a preemptive strike against Egypt while President Nasser is preparing another war of annihilation against Israel in conjunction with Syria and Jordan. In defending herself against the invading armies, Israel captures the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights, if you've never been there, is a mountain region. You can see Lebanon, you can see Syria, you can see Jordan, but down below, you see the Sea of Galilee. And why do they want to conquer the north? Because they want to take away the water resources of Israel, which is the Sea of Galilee. Look at this. The Sinai Peninsula, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, the holiest site to the Jewish people. Several years later, the Golan Heights and the eastern part of Jerusalem were formally annexed to Israel. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They had to take that by force. Hallelujah. And so, saints, we were all grafted in by faith.
Yes, amen.
We're reading all this history, but we're grafted in by faith. Can I get amen?
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. He wrote this. Look at this. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, that was us Gentiles.
Wild.
Some of you were wild things. Can I get amen? Good. Well, wild. Look at this. Being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. Meaning, hallelujah, the whole root is the Abrahamic covenant. It's the Jewish nation. It's the Jewish people. It's Israel. We were grafted in, hallelujah, to the root. We were broken off branches, grafted in by faith. Hallelujah. So everything that was promised to Abraham has been promised to us.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Look at this. God has chose us so he will see us through our trials. And what else? Tribulations. Because of his divine providence for our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Look what 1 Peter wrote. Beloved, do not think it strange. We read this in the beginning. Concerning the fire trial which is trying you, as some strange thing happened to you. Hallelujah. But rejoice. Say that with me. Rejoice. One more time. Say, rejoice. To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when the glory, his glory is revealed, you may be also glad with exceeding joy. So this is why, saints of God, I need you guys to see this. If Israel went through heartache and war, and temptation and bloodshed.
Yes.
Don't you think something of that type of nature would happen to us?
Yes, absolutely. Come on.
So God gives us ammunition through the word.
Yes.
This is why you need to be in the word. What?
That's
the word. Look at this. In James, look at this. Chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Woo.
Be patient. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Praise God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally without reproach, and it will be given to who? Him. Look at this. But let him ask in faith. Can I get amen? All you have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you'll be able to move a mountain with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So in other words, you know what he's saying in a nutshell? Oh yeah, I believe in all the things of God. Yeah, yeah, I do. And then the next night, you're in the club shaking it.
Uh-oh. Come on. Uh-oh. Whoa. That's really good.
Oh, come on. Huh? Unstable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, come on. Driving around with your beepity beep bop 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 beat up bop bop. When your mind should be cleansed, you should be worship and praise now. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I know some of you just got stung right now. I got stung before too in my early walk. Oh, that's right. But when I got saved, I was obedient to the voice.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I rounded up 300 of CDs and albums of, you know, funk, R&B, jazz, and tossed them. I had to fill my mind with worship and praise. When you fill your mind with worship and praise, it'll renew you. Hallelujah. It'll strengthen you. That's your fix. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. God has equipped his chosen people from the same vultures that physically and spiritually attacked Abram. Can I get an amen? We're coming in for a close. Look at this. In Ephesians 6:10. Finally, say that with me. Finally. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might?
His might.
Your might?
His might.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand what? The wiles of old Slewfoot, the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Did you know that old Slewfoot is 24/7 against you?
Oh yeah.
The moment you wake up, he's on your tail. The moment you go to bed, he's on your tail. All he wants to do is do one thing, is get your mind off of Christ. Get your mind off of God. And put the focus on your circumstance. Pit you against your brother and sister. Oh, that's right. The devil wants to divide your heart. Just like he wants to divide the land.
There you go.
There's no land that we have, but the land is our heart. He wants to divide our heart. Can I get amen? We can't allow that to happen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
This is why you need to be prayed up. You need to be in your word. You need to love one another. Bless one another. Look at this. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand that. And that what? We live in an evil day now. Come on. What was it? 2 days ago? Some man came into a bowling alley and wiped out 18 souls for no reason. I've shared this time and time again. There are more mass shootings right now than there are days in a calendar year. Come on, think about that. We're living in perilous times. When we were young as this child right here, sitting in the front right here, we could ride our bicycle at night. We didn't have to worry about getting abducted, getting robbed or kidnapped. It was safe. But not anymore. I know every one of you lock your doors and windows at night, don't you? Man, back in the day, we used to leave our stuff wide open. Not anymore. We're living in perilous times. Because God gave us the armor to withstand in the evil day. That is real time today. It's an evil day. It's an evil day. When you're mutilating your child,
oh, gosh, yeah.
And if you don't agree with the state, they have a bill now. If they pass the bill here in California, they will remove you from your child and mutilate your child.
This is like what's, come on, we need to pray out. Like,
Jesus, help us.
Jesus, help us.
We live in that day of wickedness right now. Yes, there's hope. But the only hope is through Jesus Christ. The only hope is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But no one wants to talk about what we see right now. Some of us want to put our head in the sand like an ostrich and let everything go by. I don't see it. I see no evil. I hear no evil. I speak no evil.
Come on, wake up.
In order to know what's happening, you got to be diligent.
Diligent.
And you need to have your head on a swivel. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We live in those times. Look at this. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your shod, your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at this. Above all things, take the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Saints, let me just say this. God will see us through our tribulations. And I'm going to end with this one prayer. It's a scriptural prayer. It was given to Sister Tammy to pray for our Wednesday night last Wednesday. I want to pray this over us. It's Psalms 91. And we'll end. Did you guys get something out of this message today?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and what?
Buckler.
Look at this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Let me just pause right there. They're not going to get away with it. Wicked people will not get away with it. God will have His final say. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Look at this in verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His what? Angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Look at verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with all long life, I will satisfy and show him my salvation. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Praise God. How many believe we serve Almighty God? Huh? How many believe we serve Almighty God? Come on, give God a shout of praise. I'm going to give this opportunity right now to those who are on Facebook and YouTube. But I want all of us to pray. There's a brother right now in the West Wing. He came to give his heart to Christ. And he's going to get baptized in a few moments. Brother Louie, come up here. Come over here, brother. Come over here. Come over here right here for a minute. I never baptized an Indianapolis cult before. This brother's been coming to the men's study. He's been faithful. And now, he's given his heart to Jesus. Listen. I know if you have to go, you have to go. But if you could be here, it's only going to take a few minutes when we end. We're all going to go out in the patio, and we're going to baptize him. You know, this is why God said, go home. He said, go home. Because the miracles are going to happen again. This is a sign. This is a sign to us that God's going to do what he promised to do is keep Amazing Grace going. Can I get amen? He spoke this church 16, 17 years ago. We're the remnant right now. We've seen beautiful people come and go. And we're going to see new people coming. And we're going to see wonderful brothers like him who's given their heart to Christ. Let's all pray for him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Brother Louie. Thank you for what you're about to do in his life. We pray blessings upon him. I pray, Lord, when he takes the steps of faith in the water of baptism, Lord, that you would bless him, that he'll come out of that water brand new. Hallelujah. Washed away all his sins. And Lord, I pray that you would fill him with your Spirit. Lord, that he would have a brand new life in Christ, like you've done with us. So God, thank you for bringing him this day. Bless him in mighty ways. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Jesus.
And now I'm going to give that opportunity, and then we're going to worship the Lord. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. It's by faith. Many of you who have logged in, maybe for the first or second time, maybe just maybe it's your opportunity right now that God wants to do something mighty in your life. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too would have that opportunity to have eternal life, to have all your sins washed away, to be filled with the Holy Spirit promise, to be heaven bound and the hell to shun. And that's all for you if you would just ask God to come into your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me.
I believe you died for
and
me. And the blood
that you shed on the cross, will cleanse me
from all my sins.
Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin.
Come into my heart.
Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Oh, yes, come on. Jesus is worthy. My brother, whatever's on your heart. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.